Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, well, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. We are finishing this chapter this morning, picking right up where we left off just a few weeks ago. Thank you, Dave, for filling in the last couple of weeks as I read through your messages. Wish I had been here to hear them, but good stuff for sure. It has amazed me over the last couple of weeks in the messages that we've been going through in Luke. The messages that Dave had in James, the things we've been talking about in Wednesday morning prayer meeting, just how everything fits together. Everything feeds off of each other. Everything builds each other up. Everything just comes together. We're talking about the same things over and over again from different angles or different perspectives or, different things like that. But there's a united theme to things. And especially as we go through from different spots in the church, again, from Sunday morning to Wednesday morning to somebody else filling it on Sunday morning, the messages are different, but the theme is the same. And we can see it go through patterns of that. And it amazes me every time I see that. The songs that we're singing this morning fit in with exactly what I'm talking about this morning too. And when that happens, it's amazing. So we're in Luke chapter 12, finishing up that chapter. And Jesus, throughout this chapter, has been focusing his teaching and his preaching on focusing on the right priorities, making sure that we are looking in the right place, making sure that we are clinging to the right things. And the only right priority is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what our attitudes are, what our actions show, what our hearts and our prayers and our behaviors in life, what they are and what they do and what they show directly reflect how important God's kingdom and God's glory are to us. We work here and now. We do what's good for this world, for the city that God has placed us in, as he says in Isaiah. We do these things. We act for the benefit of those around us to show the love of Christ, but we focus on and we look forward to, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, his coming again, and the culmination of his kingdom. And here in the passage that we're looking at this morning, Jesus is trying to issue a wake-up call to those who are following him and listening to his teachings. Now is the time to repent and believe. He just told his disciples that division will be coming. Between those who believe and those who don't, that there is an eternal division between believers and unbelievers, between the sheep and the goat, between those who are clothed in Christ's righteousness and trust in the work of Christ on the cross, and those who are determined to rest on their own righteousness and their own works. He did that. He tells the disciples that, and now he turns to the crowds and he tells them to get on the right side of that division. So we'll go ahead and read this morning's passage, Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 59. I will be reading out of the English Standard Version. I encourage you to follow along in your preferred translation. So Luke 12, 54 through 59, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit reads, "He also said to the crowds, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. May God bless the reading of his holy word. So Jesus starts off this section talking about what most small town blue collar people talk about, the weather. In that region, the weather was pretty easy to predict. When the winds came from the west, they were coming off the Mediterranean Sea, and that generally meant rain. If the winds were coming from the south, it was blowing wind up from the desert, and it would bring scorching heat with it. It wasn't that difficult to figure out, and everybody knew this simply by observing nature. The patterns as it happens over time, everybody saw it, everybody knew it. We do this today as well. We can read the signs. We know what happens when certain things are coming up, when the wind blows a certain way or from a certain direction. We know how that's going to affect our area, our home, how it's going to affect us physically sometimes. We know what God is doing with the weather and how that is going to affect things going on. We know in the summer, in the middle of the completely dry, if the winds are blowing, the temperatures are hot, many of us are going to lose power because fires will start otherwise. You know, we know these things. We know what to look for, and we know what the possible and likely outcomes of those weather, of what that is. And here Jesus is sharing just one of those sorts of examples where we can observe the world around us. We can see what God is doing in that, and we can trust in that. We know that that's happening continually and consistency. And yet there's so much that we're unwilling to see. This is what he's showing us, is that we can and will see what we want to see. And we can and will not see what we don't want to see. We will see what's important to us, and we will ignore and suppress what's not important to us. You've heard me use this example before, but reading the Bible is a perfect example. What you are looking for in the Bible, whether it is true or not, whether it is accurate or not, you will find. If you go into the Bible looking for it to confirm your views, regardless of how true or right those views are, you will find Bible verses to support it. It may be ripped out of context. It won't mean, in reality, what you think it means. But what you are looking for, you will find. And the Bible is a perfect example of that, but it's throughout everything around us. We will look for things to confirm what we already believe. And we will ignore and denigrate and get rid of the things that go against what we've already chosen to believe. And that's what's going on with the people in Israel that Jesus is talking to here. They are seeing what they want to see. They are consciously or subconsciously ignoring and not seeing what they don't want to see. They are choosing, whether consciously or not, to not see that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is saying they can't see what's right here in front of their eyes, what Jesus has made perfectly clear to them. He said back in Luke 11:20, he told the crowds who he was. He says, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." He's giving them the answer right there to the question they don't even realize is being asked. And Jesus was right there. He was literally there in the flesh. He was what God was doing right there in their midst. He was who they should have been observing to see the great things that God has done and was doing. And they couldn't see it. They wouldn't see it. They were blinded to it and they were distracted. No, they were, most of them often were distracted by the same things we're distracted by today, at least in general terms. It was a little bit different in the specifics. But they were being distracted by being good, moral people and following God's law. They were being distracted by the outside influences on their society, in this case, the Roman occupation. They were distracted by things that seem good and seem important: politics, weather, nationality, and so on. These things that can be good in their place to focus on were being so focused on that they wouldn't look around and see that God was right there and what he was doing in their midst. They were so distracted that they couldn't see the great works that God was doing. They couldn't see Jesus be who Jesus said he was. And Jesus calls them hypocrites because they knew deep down, but they were unwilling, again, often subconsciously, to see Jesus for who he is. We get caught up today. We get caught up in the things going on around us that seem so important, that seem like they affect our lives so much. Things going on in Washington, D.C., things going on down in Sacramento, how things are being played out across the country, different trials going on, seeming worsening of the moral fabric of society. We focus so much on those things that we miss the good and great work that God is doing today, the things that he is doing in America, that he is doing in California, in Butte County, and here in Bangor. We miss those things that God is doing because we're so focused on all the other stuff. We talked a few weeks ago of the works that God is doing specifically in rural communities throughout the country as churches like ourselves and so many more are partnering with Village Missions to reach out to the communities through rural domestic missions, show people the love of Christ and the truth of his word. We saw a perfect practical example of that on Thursday as you guys gave so generously to provide 25 turkeys to give out to families and individuals throughout this town that otherwise were not going to be able to have a Thanksgiving. Or it would have been a struggle to put on that Thanksgiving. And you were able to bless those families and those individuals. God is doing good works throughout this country, throughout this community. And we are missing it when we're focusing on all that other stuff. Amen. And in that regard, we are working for the here and the now, by focusing on the eternal. We are doing things practically here and today by choosing to do the things that God has called us to do. But when we focus on the here and now, when we try to do good things at the expense of focusing on the eternal, when we are distracted by things which seem good and right, we miss God's work and we miss what he is doing. So instead of reading the tea leaves, instead of reading conspiracy theories or prophecies into every headline that we read, instead of focusing on those things, we are to look and to marvel at the great work that God is doing and that he is doing it through his son, Jesus Christ. That last song sums that up better than I can. If you have questions about what I just said, go back and read the last song we sung. That's right there. And Jesus says this in context that they should have seen. What should they have seen? One commentator says, what specifically should they have seen? Luke is the gospel of knowing for sure, and it has shown us that what Jesus was saying and doing. People should have learned from his teaching that he spoke with divine authority. This was the man who took the old promises of salvation and said, they are fulfilled in my ministry. They should have seen from his miracles that he had true divine power. This was the man who ruled the waves and cast out demons by the finger of God. If people had been able to interpret the times, they would have recognized that Jesus was the Messiah who had come to bring salvation. They would have also seen that judgment was coming. Jesus was just the kind of prophet who always got persecuted and probably killed. Already the religious leaders were plotting against him, and this served as a storm warning. If people had been able to interpret the times, they would have seen the gathering clouds and taking cover, yet they never saw it coming. Jesus says they should have seen it, just like we should see what God is doing around us and who God is and who Christ is in the midst of that. Jesus is God. He is not going to say things like this if they're not true. If he says we should have seen it, we should have seen it. We don't get to come to him with an excuse. Well, I didn't see it because. He didn't give us an excuse here. He didn't give us an out. He says, you should have seen it. He's God. He can't be wrong. He was clear. They and often us are the ones that miss it. And then he says, why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Jesus calls us back to what he was asked and what he answered back in verses 13 and 14 when the guy wanted Jesus to judge between he and his brother on an inheritance case. And he uses this reference to go into another mini parable. He's telling us to settle our case now. There's two applications for this. There's a lot of applications to this, but two main applications I want to focus on. The second one we're going to look at, the main and eternal one, the point that Jesus is making. And then the secondary one which is just as important in a lot of ways, but is here for here and now and today. Make amends in your relationships. Fix those broken relationships as much as it is up to you. Live at peace with one another. Go and fix those friendships that have fallen away. We are never promised tomorrow. We don't know how long we have or how long they have, and you never know when it will be too late to make those amends, especially if you're the one that's guilty or at fault. And if the other person's at fault, make sure they know that you have forgiven them or that you are ready to move on and make amends. As one commentator pointed out, sometimes we're really good at believing in forgiveness, but not so much in acting on it. Now, all of us in this room, and many of us very specifically recently, can testify to those times where a loved one is here one day and gone the next. And the question always comes up is, do we know where they're going? And sometimes we do. That has been one of the things that we can be so grateful for is when we know a person's faith. We can see and we can hear their love for Jesus. And so we know that when they are not here anymore, that they are with him in eternal glory. No tears, no pain, no nothing, just eternal glorification and communion with Christ. That's the best of the scenarios. That is the scenario that we should be clinging to. If the person we know that has passed, if we know where they are in that regard. Now, sometimes we know that a person has no faith and has no evidence of being saved. And we know where they are going, and it's not good news. The other situation is where, when I had this with my mom, is where we don't know. We have no idea where they might be. They might profess some faith but not show fruit. They might have a history of faith but don't seem to be living it out at the moment, or different things, or not taking their faith seriously, or whatever it is. For a variety of reasons, we can very easily not know where somebody stands spiritually. And so if they pass, then we don't know where they are going. And I think for me, that's the toughest, is when we don't know. I would rather know a negative outcome than to just not know. But the question is there. Sometimes it's in the background. Sometimes it's brought out by circumstances or by conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know where your loved ones and your friends are going after they die? And the follow-up, what are you doing about it? We can't force anyone to believe, but we do have the responsibility to share the truth of the gospel with our friends and our family. And then we come to what might be an even more important question, or a question that we can do something more about. Do your friends and your family know where you are going if you were to die today? If you were the one who is here today and gone tomorrow, do the people in your life know? I can cling to the fact that I know that they are in heaven with God right now. And again, many of you can testify to that bedrock foundation, what a gift it is to know that they are in heaven with God when they are gone. What the greatest gift that somebody who's passed can give to us is that we know that they are in heaven with Christ. And so think about that from your end. Do your friends and family know that when you pass, you are in heaven with Christ? Jesus is telling the crowds, this needs to be determined here and now. The time for mercy is now. The time for settling our case before God is now. This requires recognizing and admitting our guilt, that all of us are guilty of sinning against the Almighty and All-Holy God, that there is no option of a verdict in our case before God other than guilty. The only way that we can receive mercy, receive a commuted sentence, so to speak, is through the mercy and grace of God when we turn to Jesus, repent of our sins, believe on him who died for the forgiveness of our sins, and to do so before we stand before the judge. Because we will all stand before the judge when we die. And we will give an account for our lives, sins and all. And once we are standing before the judge, the time for mercy is over. That's why Jesus is calling us for us to decide now. Once we are before the judge, if we have not previously received his mercy, then he has no choice but to find us guilty and to dole out justice. It's the only verdict possible. The time for mercy is over and the time for justice has arrived. And so Jesus is offering to settle our case. If we admit our guilt, if we repent of our sins and throw ourselves on the mercy of the Most High, he is merciful. If we reject mercy, we receive justice. And it is just that all sins are punished through eternity in hell. Sin requires that all of us receive justice, that all sin is accounted for. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are able to come to the Father through the Son. He has attained the forgiveness of sins by taking the wrath and punishment for sin. The payment has been paid. The sin was accounted for. Justice was served. Therefore, God the Father chooses to pour his mercy, his forgiveness out on some. Those who believe, those who repent, those who put their faith and trust in Christ. We owe a debt that can never be repaid. We do not have the ability to repay that debt. So when Jesus says in this parable, when he says, you will be in the jail until you pay your debt, until every penny is paid. Point is that to use one example, that proves against purgatory. Purgatory, the idea in the afterlife that you are working off your sins so that eventually you can get into heaven. You cannot repay your debt, ever. And so Jesus is saying, now is the time. He says, even if we could pay off our debts, we continue to sin all the way up until the time that we pass and we come before Christ, until we are in heaven in our new glorified bodies. And so we would continue to accrue more and more debt, so to speak. But once God's mercy is poured out on us, though we stumble, we shall never fall. And though we fall, we will always get back up. We are what Martin Luther termed at the same time justified and sinner. Simul justus et peccator. I don't speak Latin or Greek or whatever that is. But simultaneously just and sinner is what that means. And that is the life of a believer. We are justified. We are forgiven. We have been shown mercy. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We cannot be perfect. We still cannot stop from fully sinning. The very first of Martin Luther's 95 thesis, which would unintentionally go on to start the Protestant Reformation, says that a believer's life is one of continual repentance. Amen. Salvation or justification is a one-time, once-and-for-all, it-is-finished event. But our living it out, our working out our salvation with fear and trembling, our sanctification and our growth, our developing of the fruit of the spirits is an ongoing, lifelong process. It is better to receive this mercy before we get to the judge than to face the justice we so truly deserve when the verdict is handed down. Jesus has given us all the information. We have it all recorded here in the scriptures. The people that were around Jesus have heard everything that they needed to hear. He has been clear and he has left no room for doubt. Now it is up to each one of us individually to believe in him, to acknowledge the truth, his truth, the truth of the Bible, capital T, truth. Jesus tells those who are hearing him in this passage, they should have seen through all the other stuff. They should have read the signs. They should have recognized him for who he was. And how much more, seeing these people reject him, having the whole counsel of the scripture, having it all here laid out before us in our own language, how much more should we be able to see and acknowledge his truth and recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and trust and obey? Problem is, in Romans 1, we suppress the truth in our unrighteousness. It's not that we don't know the truth. It's that we're unwilling to acknowledge the truth. My great uncle was a priest, and he was so very fond of saying, we are promised forgiveness if we ask, but we are never promised tomorrow. And that has stuck with me through the years. And so we look at so much of what many in our family here in this church have dealt with over the last number of months. And we see the truth in that statement. We are not promised tomorrow. Sometimes it can be expected. We know it's coming soon. We know somebody's in poor health or at an advanced age. We know that it's coming, even if the exact moment can be a surprise. We're able to prepare for it. Sometimes it'll come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's a little bit in between of that. God knows the number of our days. He doesn't let us in on that. And as we think of how we've grieved for the people that we have lost in our lives, think of how they will grieve for you. We can give them a gift by assuring them of where we are going after we die. And we can try to give them a gift by sharing with them the truth of the gospel and who Christ is. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Romans 10:8-10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And lastly, John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you are a good and holy, a just and merciful God. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to receive your mercy and forgiveness, that we have turned to you, trusted in you, and received your mercy. Lord, we pray for our friends and family around us, for those who have not received your mercy yet, that you would help use us as a channel, as a vessel, as an instrument to share your faith, to share faith in you, to share our faith, to share our trust in you, to share the truth of who you are and your salvation. Lord, we pray that we are able to live in a way that assures our friends and family where we are going when we die, that they can have that gift that they can cling to. Lord, we pray for your mercy. We pray that you would help us to show that and that you would pour it out liberally upon all who would believe. We thank you for that. Help us to live it out. Help us to share it with others. We give thanks to you and share all things with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholenchek.com. That's caseyholenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.